The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back as we are live on the campus of the University of South Carolina. We have a tremendous crowd here. They are rowdy and excited. And Dawn Staley will join us in just a couple of minutes, the legendary Hall of Fame coach from South Carolina, won a national championship a couple of years ago, won the gold medal this past summer in Tokyo. She is here. She'll join us in just a few minutes, and we are about to be joined by the head football coach here as well, Shane Beamer. While Coach Beamer makes his way up here, let's check out Michael next. Good afternoon, Michael. Michael, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I was just going to ask you, what do you think of the Gamecocks' chance so far this year, and also what do you think of the head coach?
Well, that's an interesting question. So with the head coach about to come up here, I'm going to tell you what I've been saying now for months. I think he has nobody has done a better job from the moment he was hired until the beginning of football season in igniting and inspiring a fan base than Coach Beamer, Shane Beamer. I keep saying Frank Beamer because I've covered Frank Beamer for so many years, and I don't know his son as well. Shane has been phenomenal, and I think I am seeing it firsthand. It's one thing to hear about it. It's one thing to talk to Coach Beamer at media days, but to talk to the students here on this campus, they love this guy. And I didn't realize how big of a disconnect there was between this campus and Will Muschamp. And with all due respect to Will Muschamp, I just think the fans here had grown weary of him, and Beamer has come on board and has just sent this place into orbit from an enthusiasm standpoint. Now, what can he do from a one loss standpoint? That is still up in the air, and we're seeing, good signs, but also growing pains as well, as we saw last Saturday night in Athens. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate your call. Scott is up next. Scott, you're on the air. Go right ahead, Scott. Scott, you there?
Paul.
Yes, go right ahead.
Paul, hey, I'm calling just a few miles from the horseshoe. Thank you for coming to Gamecock Nation.
Well, thank you, Scott. No, it's been, I'm trying to remember the last time we were here. It's been 2 years at least since we were here, maybe longer. And, yeah, I think we were here for the Georgia game a couple of years ago. But we always love coming here.
By the way, I've got a big nose, too, and I think it was just the gutsiest thing last weekend for you to go take that gator on down there at Florida.
Well, I'm glad. That sound you hear is obviously for the head coach. But, Scott, it was really silly. Now that I've had a chance to reflect on it, it's pretty unbelievable. Anyway.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. Kentucky is, by the way, I'm a first-time caller, and I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a 32-year military veteran, and, Kentucky's got a the ranked sixth in the SEC in defense. Kentucky is favored by 5 in Caesars Sportsbook.
Sorry, I'm late.
And I just wanted to mention, before Shane Beamer comes on here, Shane Beamer, for all Gamecock Nation, was born in Charleston.
Well, hey, Scott, let me interrupt you for a second. I don't want to keep the coach waiting. You heard the crowd. And I've done this now for 8 years. I've never been on a set on a college campus when we had a coach come up that I couldn't hear myself think. That's how much these people love Coach Shane Beamer on this campus. So, Coach, welcome to the program.
Thank you. That's how much they love Gamecock athletics and Gamecock football. So what a crowd, and we're just getting started, Paul, on this weekend.
Well, it's one thing to talk to you at media days. It's one thing to see this thing from a distance. But I have to say, I'm blown away, and I've had a chance to talk to all these young students, and I don't know what you're doing here, but you need to keep doing it.
No, I appreciate it. We got a fantastic university, fantastic athletic department, best fan base in all of America, and they're passionate about they're passionate about Carolina athletics, and I think the biggest thing with me is I'm real and genuine and love this place and love this school and love this football program.
And what's so interesting is this is Parents Weekend, and Coach brought his dad here.
Yeah, I got my dad right out here. My mom's around here somewhere. Right there, there's my mom. She's here as well. So we were 2-0 when my dad was in attendance. He didn't come to Athens, and we lost. So we brought him back out of the bullpen for this week as well. So,
and I just want to say, because I haven't seen your dad in a while, and I've talked to him many times. I hope all of you young students appreciate what a great Hall of Fame coach Frank Beamer was. Not only was he a fantastic winner playing for national championships and being a contender, but the class and dignity that he brought, and obviously we see it in you.
I appreciate you saying that. No, very proud of he and my mom both, and the way they brought my sister and I up, and hopefully I've taken a lot of his qualities as a head coach myself.
Well, let's talk a little bit about where this program is, because I've had all the experts up here, Tebow and countless others, saying what you need and where you are, and they all really like it. But in terms of, you've got a good snapshot. You played one of the top two teams in the country last week. After getting a good look at that, and by the way, your video going viral, I don't know how many TikTok or likes it got on Twitter, but I've never seen a – even Spurrier on his best day never rivaled that.
Yeah, well, and I think my point with that was more just sometimes it just gets down to players, and not that we don't have them. And I told our team on Tuesday morning, make no mistake what I said. I wasn't implying that we weren't good enough to execute. I expect us to execute, and our players do too, no matter who we're playing. But sometimes it's not always about scheme. It's just in the SEC, especially on the line of scrimmage, it's about one-on-one battles and winning those one-on-one battles. But I really like our team. The experts may talk about what we don't have and whatnot. I see what we do have, and we got a group that's really working hard and is passionate. And I just told them, but literally just came from our final walkthrough here about 15 minutes ago, and told them, I know our fan base is going to be unbelievably insane and loud and electric tomorrow night. I know that we'll play really physical, and I know that we're going to compete our rear ends off. We've got to execute and play better than what we did last week, though. I know that.
I mean, clearly, you play a team like Georgia on the road. You obviously learn a great deal. Give us your analysis after that in terms of where this program is, because you don't have an easy opponent tomorrow night either.
No, we don't. We got a big challenge tomorrow night. Coach Stoops has done a great job with the Kentucky program and the team this year as well. And, I learned there was a lot that I took from the game last week. We played physical. We competed for four quarters. Everybody's been talking about our receivers and what we don't have. I saw our receivers make a lot of one-on-one contested catches against some pretty good defensive backs from Georgia. I saw us, do a nice job defensively. Now, the things we can't do is give up long plays like we did in the secondary. We've got to execute better on offense. We've got to get our running game going, without a doubt. We've got too good a running back in Kevin Harris and Marshawn Lloyd and Saquandre White and Juju McDowell and our offensive line. So there's a lot of qualities that we have. We've got to be better than what we were, but I did see a lot of things last Saturday night that give me a lot of hope, not just for tomorrow, but the rest of the season as well.
I mean, you probably had a pretty good idea where this program was anyway. Do you feel now – and, some of this you can talk about, and some of this you go in the recruiting room and isolate on, but does that help you figure out, okay, that was Georgia. That's where everybody is trying to get, a team like Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. Does it make it not easier, but do you see your path clearer?
I think everyone in the SEC sees that. I mean, it's Alabama and Georgia year in, year out. They're pretty much 1, 2, or 3 in the national recruiting rankings, and it's evident when you play them on the field. We recruited a lot of great players when I was here before. We've recruited a lot of great players here. There's a lot of guys on our team that Georgia wanted that came to South Carolina. There's a lot of guys on our team that we wanted at Oklahoma that thankfully came to South Carolina. We've just got to continue to recruit more and more of them, and we'll get there. When I was here before, we played for the SEC championship. We had great success. We beat all of our rivals, and we're close to doing that again too soon, very well.
Let's talk a little bit about tomorrow night. You mentioned the crowd, and I keep hearing. I've been to games. I mean, I've seen South Carolina beat the number one team in the country,
yeah.
And you know all about that.
Oh yeah.
And I talked to your old boss last week, and we never talk when we're in Gainesville with Coach Spurrier about bringing that up. But how how do you get to that point again?
Yeah, no, you're right. I remember it like yesterday. College game day was set up right out here, and it was an amazing environment on the horseshoe like it is today and will be tomorrow. And we've just got to continue to coach and recruit. And we talked to guys back then. We had a lot of guys on that field that day, Stephon Gilmore, Alshon Jeffrey, that could have gone anywhere in the country. And they wanted to come to South Carolina and do something that hasn't been done before, win an SEC championship. And we've got to continue to recruit great players and get them here. We've got an amazing academic school to sell, a beautiful campus, as you see, an amazing football program, great leadership here from President Pastides to Ray Tanner on down. And there's nothing in my mind that we don't have to go win championships. And that's what we've got to do, is just continue to sell guys on that and bring them here.
You guys buying in? Coach Shane Beamer joining us. Thank you, Coach. I know you got a busy day. Great.
Appreciate it. Yep, thank you.
We'll take a break and come back with a national championship and Olympic winning coach, Dawn Staley, right after this. We're live in Columbia.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back, and what a half hour this has been with Coach Shane Beamer. And now let us introduce Dawn Staley. They love Dawn Staley here, and for good reason. Just national championship cup. I've lost track of your gold medals. We talked to you all together. You know, now as a head coach and assistant, as a player, how many do you have in your trophy case?
Six.
Six. Only six. Six gold medals.
That's it.
I would imagine this one was pretty sweet.
This one was pretty sweet. Actually, you don't actually get one as a coach. You don't get a tangible gold medal. The only thing you
don't
can
get
say
a gold medal as a
coach.
You
don't get a gold medal. We got to get that changed.
I mean, you're the head coach of the United States of America's gold medal winning team, and you don't walk away with a gold medal?
No, nope, I think that's an Olympic thing, though.
Can you? I guess when you already have five or six sitting around your house, you could probably get by without that.
Yeah, I go by and dust them off. Actually, they're all in my office.
Oh, okay.
I probably shouldn't say that, but there's an alarm on them. There's an alarm
like,
on them,
they're
too.
Like 10 so, kids yeah. who started running that direction.
So it's pretty cool. Like, the whole experience was super cool, super pressure-packed. A relief once it was over. Now you get to reflect on being part of history.
You've been there before, even your national championship a couple of years ago. It was expected, and I've talked to coaches in your position at the highest and most elite level where you almost exhale. You were expected to win this. Could you really enjoy it, knowing that everyone expected you to win and you had to figure out a way to get to the end?
Yeah, that's a good question. Can you enjoy it? No, I actually did not enjoy the journey because – all eyes are on you. Every team that preceded us went undefeated in an Olympic game, so we never lost. So that is the weight on your shoulders every round, even during the pool play. And then when you get to the quarterfinals, we played a team, Australia, who beat us a month before. And you just don't want to have that repeat failure. And I say failure because a lot of people, when we lose, it's failure. It's gold or failure. So you're carrying that weight into the quarters. If you don't win the quarters, you can't medal. Can't get to the medal round. And then once you get to the semis, you can't lose or you can't get to the gold medal round. So didn't enjoy the journey, but I'm enjoying it right now.
Well, you should.
Yeah.
And by the way, in the history of this show, Coach is the first person, and I love this, being a dog lover, who brought her dog to the set with her.
And he's behaving. He's behaving. But what's a champ to do but behave?
I'm curious, though. As a player, you feel a level of pressure, I'm sure, but you do move on, and you're just part of a team. As a coach in – I mean, you want to win for South Carolina. You've won and lost, but how different is it being the head coach of the United States Olympic team? Does it feel even more suffocating?
It is. It's a lonely place to be because only you are in that position.
Right.
It ended up being 5 years. It's usually only 4 years. Just with the pandemic and it being postponed. It's a super lonely place, but it's only built for the people who can handle it.
Right.
And I do feel like because I was a former Olympian that I have experienced those expectations. I think for the coaches that haven't been participants in the Olympic Games, it's much harder because you don't have any familiarity to reflect on. It's just all you, and you're holding on to this, and expecting your players to just execute. Whereas I'm owning it, but at the same time, I know what the players are thinking. I know what's going through their minds. I know the heaviness that they feel. So for me, I don't put that on them. I just kind of let it play out because when you coach an Olympic team, you don't want to get in the way. You want to do just enough coaching to not tip the scale either way, get your players in a place where they're comfortable, they're confident, and they're just waiting their turn to be a part of something super special. And I thought we did that as a coaching staff. We had great balance in giving our players what they needed to succeed.
And not to state the obvious, Coach Staley, but this is not a normal year. The Olympics already postponed. Just going to a place that, forget the politics of COVID, but it was not in a good spot. I'm sure that did that add to the pressure, knowing that you're going to a part of the world which is a little bit different than where you live, even though there's plenty of questions about where we live. I don't mean that here. I mean
yes.
from a country standpoint. How do you? You can't just dismiss that.
Right. I think sports prepares you to be mentally tough.
Right.
It does, and there isn't anything more tough than one to compete for a gold medal. Two, to do it in a pandemic. So once we knew we were going, you flip the switch and it's like, this is what we have to do. Let's concentrate. Let's make sure that, we were hunkered down for 3 weeks. Like, we only went out to go to practice and go to the games. And practice, we probably got 10 steps from the bus to the practice site. When we went for games, we went underneath the arena, so you only feel like fresh air. I will say I did sneak out. I wouldn't be a Gamecock if I didn't sneak out and walk around Tokyo for just a little bit, just get some fresh air, come back, and just enjoy it because you look forward for those times that you don't have to be hunkered down in your room. I did exercises in my room in my room because you had to do something. Because you got pent-up energy. I played a lot of solitaire in my room. I prepped for our games. But your mind just puts you in a place where this is what you have to do. Suck it up and get it done.
When it was all over and you finally got back and exhaled, I mean, you still got a day job here, which is not exactly a low-pressure situation. Were you able to finally, for however long, to get this out of your system?
Well, I got home actually the Tuesday after the gold medal game, and I decompressed the rest of the week, and then Monday I'm in the gym with our team, and it had to happen that way. I think if I had a month off, I don't think I would have been as prepped as I needed to be to jump back in. That's too much time for me. I had to an experience of I'm back in the gym. This is home for me. This is my sacred place.
I mean, everyone knows your life story. It's truly remarkable what you've accomplished in your own playing career and now in your coaching. Can you ever really get away from this, knowing what the pressures that are always around the corner?
You know, I find myself, even when I go on vacation, I need an itinerary. I need to know what I need to be doing at any given time, right? So, no, I mean, this is who I am. I mean, I've given, you know, much more than, you know, my years on earth to right. basketball. Like, I feel like I have to repay the debt that is right. given to me and my family and everybody. So, this is my safe place, and I truly enjoy it.
Before you go, the season is just around the corner. How do you feel?
I feel great. We got a great team. We got a scrimmage coming up, an intra-squad scrimmage coming up on October the 1st. So if the students want to come, 6:30.
Anybody going to go to the game?
Colonial Life Arena. Hey, Paul, one of your fans said they want me to say hi to his grandmother, Logan. Grandma Sill, hello. Hello.
Meanwhile, while this is going on, I've got my eye on your dog here, who is in the course of this interview has gone to sleep twice, and now is looking.
Is that us? Are we boring? Are we?
You're not going to jump off there, are you?
No.
Come on
no,
over
no,
here.
No, he won't.
This is one cute little dog. Okay, she's about with you. Okay. Coach, it's always great to see you. It's one of my favorite things when we get here to get a chance to visit with you and to talk to you throughout the year, and all the best. And thanks for coming over to see us. Coach Dawn Staley, ladies and gentlemen. They love you here.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Coach.
Let's go, Shane. Hey, let's be loud and proud tomorrow and Willie B, and let's tear our Gamecocks on to get a win. Let's go, y'all.
We're back. We're live in Columbia right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. It is great to be here, and what an afternoon this has been. We just got through talking to Coach Beamer and Dawn Staley, and
I'm laughing because you got licked in the eye by a dog. You and this live animal thing is out of control, Paul.
Yeah, Coach's dog. I bent down to pet it, and it licked me in my eye. But I don't
know. I want to do that to you often too, but I just resist the urge. Try not to lick your eye.
At least it wasn't my good eye. It's
I didn't know you had a good one. I thought it was two bad ones.
One's average. One's below average.
All right. Well, good to know. When you can't. Hey, that'll be your excuse if you make any bad picks tomorrow. Just be like, you know what, I couldn't see anything.
I have to ask you, because this place is pretty jacked up.
Oh, it's amazing. The weather is perfect here. It's beautiful. I've been talking to some of the fans. They're really excited. I think we're going to be in a situation where I just got information that they're like maybe 800 tickets away from complete sellout.
I'm going to buy all 800.
Me too. We'll split it.
Oh. Okay.
Wait. Hey, let's start another GoFundMe. like we did last week. Did. A GoFundMe to buy the tickets. Anyway, I think people are going to buy those tickets. It's going to be rocking. If this thing gets as loud as I think it can, Williams-Brice is absolutely insane when it's super loud. That really affects the game. I think these fans know that, and they're excited.
I have a confession to make, which is not unusual with you. I kept hearing about the Shane train.
Yeah, I love the Shane
train. I wasn't
sure
if it was a Shane train, the Lane train. I wasn't really sure. I kept hearing about the enthusiasm for Shane Beamer. And, you know, being the cynic.
Yeah, you weren't buying in.
I really wasn't.
What about after you just
talked
to him?
But I am now. This is pretty amazing.
He's bought in now, guys. Come on.
I mean, when like Coach that. Beamer got up here, I mean, I could not hear myself think they were. I mean, they were
they love him.
Crazy.
As they should. I will say this. So it's funny. I got to know him a good bit when I was covering Oklahoma all the time in the college football playoff. And just have always been so impressed by him, knowing that he had so much potential to be a great head coach, a great head coach in the SEC. I always kind of hoped he would end up in one of these SEC schools. Of all the hires that have been made recently, this was one that I was probably most excited about because I saw the instant success that could happen. Now, listen, you got to temper everything with the reality of this conference, but I think what we're seeing is the beginning of what can be the future for South Carolina, which has got to be really exciting. He's the absolute right choice for this place and a great fit.
Well, when you go through a coaching search, you have to figure a couple of things out. And this is a unique fan base. Not that anyone here needs me to educate them on their fan base. But, yeah, I think the first thing you have to do is change the culture.
Yeah.
And I think they've done that. Now, the rest is the most difficult.
Well, I mean, you think about what has already happened this year. You know, you got Luke Doty, who's injured. You've got Zeb Noland, who's on your coaching staff, and you put him in at quarterback because you're identifying what is going to give us the best chance right now to compete and be in these games. And listen, I would throw out, honestly, what happened against Georgia last week. Georgia is incredibly talented. They're incredibly talented specifically defensively.
I wish I had you as a professor in school.
Is it because of my shirt?
We're not allowed to comment on your clothes.
Oh, sorry. Well, I've been commenting on yours all this time.
Yeah, it happened years ago.
Sorry.
Tony Kornheiser made a crack about something that Hannah Storm was wearing. He was suspended for 2 weeks.
Oh, well, I don't want you to get suspended because I need you on SEC Nation. So no more comments about anybody's clothes.
But I was having a Kornheiser moment in just trying to describe what you're wearing.
I've gotten a lot of tweets. It's a Seinfeld shirt. You know that scene?
You had it on all day?
I have. Yeah. I've been wearing it. Well, the problem was I actually had to wear it over here, which I don't usually do. But it was because I realized it was so difficult to get on for whatever reason that I didn't want to have, you know, that moment. Have you ever had this? You haven't, because everything fits you really well.
Oh, right.
Where you get stuck in a shirt and like you can't, you don't know if your life is going to be over because you're stuck in the shirt. You can't get it up or down. In a changing room, it's the worst.
The good news for me is that no one is ever really interested in what I'm wearing, which probably isn't always the case for you.
I will say, people are interested when you when you wear a beanie or when you wear that one sweater that you have that almost, it's very stately. And look, you know that one?
I had it on here about 4 years
ago. I was going to say, you're going to bring that back later on in the season. I'll be looking out for that.
I think the moths have eaten that one.
Put it in your cedar closet.
I didn't realize you had to have a cedar. Let's talk about this show tomorrow. I was in your meeting. I say your meeting
because
I'm just kind of an interloper. One thing I don't want to know about SEC Nation is what's going on. It messes up my equilibrium to actually know what's happening in the show. They showed a clip at the meeting today, and I'm thinking, Roman and I were talking about this, like, I was watching myself for the first time because I don't watch this stuff.
You never watch yourself back?
No, it's too.
I try not to. It's too disturbing. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, first of all, my feet are up on the desk. I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking around. I'm trying to think, like.
Well, Paul, you did have a moment last week on SEC Nation. Was that last week? No, it was the week before, where we were back from break and everybody was telling you we were back from break, but you weren't totally sure. And so I was saying to you, Paul, we're back on TV like 3 or 4 times. And finally you realize people thought we were faking it.
No,
it's totally real. We don't plan anything that we do.
Well, I just think that's the best approach.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing about you is that you are at your best when you are completely off the cuff and unscripted.
I mean, I have another life going on in the morning. I mean, I've got a I've got a real estate operation that I'm
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I thought your other life was that you're trying to find something to eat for breakfast, which is always a battle. Last week, you finally ditched those crackers, and you've been going more the muesli route, it seems.
Yeah, but crackers are back this week.
Did the muesli go poorly?
No, I just, I've given up on that.
Okay, yeah, we don't need that. So I got to ask you, because I know that you've sort of been pumping the brakes a little bit on Arkansas, but this Arkansas A&M game, as much as you didn't want to pay attention in our SEC Nation meeting, I'm interested in your thoughts. It feels like there's obviously, and I hate the who's got the more pressure, but there's a ton more pressure on A&M at this point. Arkansas seems like they're in a really good spot, as much as you don't really want to fully buy in on the Hawks.
Well, I am, there's no pressure on Arkansas. I mean, they're
at all. There hasn't been all season.
They got free passes all the way, and there's enormous pressure on A&M because, if they lose this game, I think they have Mississippi State the next week, and then Alabama, which means they've got to beat Alabama.
To salvage the season, right?
I think so. Well, to salvage the season according to their expectations.
And by the way, I don't want to diminish why A&M fans expect that much, because I think they should. You've got a coach in Jimbo Fisher
he's being paid like $50 million a year.
Like a game. I'm just kidding. And listen, they have a talented roster. Going into the season, if you look at the roster, it's not even just, hey, they're talented on paper. No, they're legitimately talented, and we haven't seen that necessarily translate as well as we thought. Some of it has to do with quarterback injuries.
Yeah, well, I think it is a quarterback situation, because everybody expected Haynes King to be great, and now he's hurt. I heard somebody say today, well, Calzada, he's not Kellen Mond. Well, nobody really thought Mond was all that great.
I know. How many A&M fans would you hear from that would rip on Kellen Mond?
Yeah, all of them.
And listen, I'm not even sure. I mean, Jimbo Fisher, as he should, has given Kellen Mond a ton of credit for what he's done and for even some of the numbers that he put up at A&M. But I think Jimbo was so excited about Haynes King.
I agree.
Even talking to him at SEC Media Days and leading into it, you felt like the majority of Jimbo's positivity about the way he outlooked on this. And I don't want to play
Can you understand what he says?
No, but actually I can. You know what it is? So here's the key. You got to learn how to read lips.
Okay.
But sometimes I get a little murky there, but if you can read his lips, you know a little bit more about what he's saying.
What can all these fans expect to see tomorrow here on SEC Nation?
Well, we've got more live.
That's what they call a promo question.
Oh, were you told to ask me that?
Yes.
Oh. Paul, you're such a
– I said ask
you're
her.
You're so
ask
bad.
Her, ask her about –
You're so bad sometimes because I'm just on to you because I know you really don't care. So here's one thing. We got more live mascots, which with you has been totally scary.
I'm done.
You and that gator last week terrified me. I've never been more scared. I really worry about you, as you know. I thought he was going to snap at you.
I haven't really seen you much since then.
Yeah.
How did you see it from where you sat?
Well, so the problem with where I am, because I'm directly across from you, I couldn't tell how close you were. It looked closer to me than it was maybe in real life. But either way, it was too close for comfort. I got more texts from my family members about that than I got about anything else in the show. They don't care about anything I'm doing. They're like, make sure Paul doesn't get hurt. So anyway, tomorrow, more live animals. We'll see if we can get one to lick your eye again.
No, I'm not getting near another mascot.
You say that, and you absolutely will. So that's happening. Oh, here's the promo. This. Hey, what else do you want to know, Paul? Anything else? They're kicking me out of here.
Yeah, I mean, QB, like you said, promos.
I spent too much time talking about trying to get in and out of my shirt.
I mean,
they're playing indie music on us.
I'm still talking to Laura. And
oh, look at that dog. That dog is so cute. Oh, my goodness, that's like a puppy.
Dog.
Hey, doggy. Cute.
We're back. We're live in Columbia right after this.
Woo-woo.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. What an afternoon. What an hour this has been. Ryan McGee coming in here at the end of Frank Beamer and Dawn Staley and Laura. You got some pressure on you.
It's like cleanup duty, right?
Shane Beamer. Frank was here, and I cannot get Frank out of my mind.
Coach Beamer was here.
Right,
okay, yeah. And I knew Mrs. Beamer was here. No, Frank Beamer was, and you know about that.
With all due respect to Shane, Frank.
No, well, and Shane's used to that, just so you know. I mean, Shane's totally used to that. But, I talk about my father all the time. And my dad was an official when they started the Big East.
Right.
And then when Virginia Tech came to the ACC, dad came back to the ACC. And my dad was always, because he's on the sideline, he always interacted with coaches during the game. And Frank Beamer has and always will be at the top of the list. He's the legend. He's
really
the man.
Cool guy. And I had a chance to visit with him and Mrs. Beamer. And, he joked about when he would come home and she would tell him what all the pundits were saying. So I don't care what these guys think. He said, and now I find myself like watching your show every day.
Yeah. Got to get a spare time. Well, but imagine if you're Shane Beamer, though, and you got your first head coaching job, and in your phone you can call Frank Beamer, you can call Lincoln Riley, you can call Steve Spurrier. Right. I mean, just the advice. You can call Phil Fulmer if you want to, I guess. But the advice that he can procure is just there's not going to be anything that's going to sneak up on him.
Yeah, you can't come to Columbia, South Carolina without hearing about George Rogers. And not only have I heard about him today, you spent the day with him.
Yeah. Now we're going to run a story on Marty McGee tomorrow morning. So years ago I was here. It was the season opener, first game ever on SEC Network. It was Texas A&M at South Carolina. And I was on the field 150 degrees on a Thursday in August.
Quite a night.
I was with Dari Noka. And we're sitting there during a commercial break, and I go, George Rogers just pulled up. And he just pulled his Heisman out of the trunk of his car. And he set it on a card table and just started taking pictures of people. And I walked over and asked George, I go, do you always carry your Heisman? I was like, yeah, people love it. And he takes it to McDonald's. He takes it to dinner. He takes it to the dentist. He takes it everywhere he goes.
That's amazing.
And yeah. And so we walked into a barbecue joint down here by the stadium, and George made me carry it. And it's
heavy?
Super heavy. Yeah. He did. And I walk into the barbecue place. I'm like, this is what it's like to be like famous. Because everybody in the place is like, why is there a Heisman trophy in here? But George Rogers is the man. We had the best time. So I'm excited to see what the piece looks like Saturday morning.
Yeah, I remember that night because George was in our audience, and somehow Herschel came up.
I asked him, well, we talked about it today, and I was like, how often do you hear about Herschel? He goes, all the time. He goes, you know what? He goes, I got one, and he got one. He goes, we're good.
Yeah, and I was.
You were at that game, right? You were at the 80 game?
It was the first SEC Nation, and Joe Tessitore, they showed George in the – he was right off the set.
Yeah.
And that was a long time ago. I related the story about that Heisman race.
Right.
I mean, because Herschel had an amazing year.
Yeah, sure.
And I always felt like Herschel should have won.
Man, are you trying to get us arrested?
And I said that in front of George, and everybody at the SEC Network, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We just insulted the most famous player.
Gamecock of all, yeah. He's fine. George is fine. Like he said, you know what, man? We're riding around with a Heisman Trophy today. This ain't bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's a great point. But you know this. You and I both have talked to so many Heisman Trophy winners, including one on our show. And a lot of them don't even know where it is.
No.
Their Heisman is at their parents' house or it's in a museum or whatever.
You just get one?
And George, so Steve Spurrier changed the rule. There's two. The player gets one, the school gets one.
Okay.
When Steve Spurrier won his in, what, 67, 68, whatever, he said, well, we just get one? Because he wanted Florida to be able to display it. And they're like, yeah. And he goes, well, that's dumb. And so the following year, they gave out two, and it was O.J. Simpson. I wrote a big story about trying to find his two Heismans a couple years ago. It was my lone foray into investigative journalism. OJ's, the USC's is back at USC after it had been missing for 20 years, got stolen during the day after the police chase, and OJ's was auctioned off.
There's a white Bronco going down the
right.
Highway
with
a Heisman in the front.
But OJ's was auctioned off because his estate was sold for legal fees, and I found it. The guy who bought it told me he had it, and he didn't have it anymore. Oh. He'd actually secretly sold it. Some collector in Reno's got it. So, yeah, I found him.
Find out more about George Rogers. If I ever won the Heisman,
I'm taking it
everywhere.
If I won the Heisman, I would weld it to the hood of my truck. Like, right?
If I ever win anything, I'm taking it with me.
Well, you want a distinguished line? Hey,
oh,
say, Travis Rest Devil Dogs playing Berea tonight, so I wore this mask. Because
it's back in South Carolina.
Back in South Carolina, y'all.